Ride your bike on the Story Bridge or Ivory Street Tunnel. The Tour de Brisbane is coming on Sunday, 14th of April. Mums, dads, kids, register for the community ride sponsored by the Sunday Mail at tourdebrisbane.org. The Big Breakfast.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Hey there, welcome to the catch up. Make sure you subscribe. It'll make it easier for you to get it. We say big show. Today was a big show. It was a fun show. It was a Friday. Pauline Hanson featured several times.
Were you Dobbo romantically linked to Pauline?
We tried.
Yeah, we don't know.
His wife and young child may not agree, but, you know, whatever works for the show, Dobbo, go you good thing.
What about that Mount Tick, the volcano on Pauline's face? Okay. No one's talking about that, are they?
Excuse me, you didn't even see it till I pointed it out. I don't know what you were listening to or watching.
Well,
but
I sort of don't look at her face. It's Pauline. Like, why are you looking at her face?
Because she had a massive crater on
I'm looking
from
at her boobs. They're terrific.
Yellow.
That's a black card. You're banned for life. You're not playing the game ever again.
It's a joke, okay?
What was Dobbo's name doing being mentioned at a Pauline Hanson press conference? We'll find out from the man himself. Gordon Tallis joined us on the Broncos. They fell just short against the Dragons the other night. I wonder if that's going to be. What did you see at Love and Rockets? What was sent to you?
Oh, my God. 3 o'clock this morning. Can
Careful.
You put this in there?
Speculatively. Yeah.
Like we practiced.
A garbo mate of mine pulled up in the valley outside Love and Rockets, which was obviously open. He said it was 3:10. And there at the ATM machine getting some money out just inside the front door. Video, not photo, was a
blonde.
Strawberry blonde.
Well, Dave, you're giving it away now.
No, this is what you
You'll
said
get
before.
Us all sued.
That's okay.
Is this person
player?
Married?
Anyway, he's had concussion problems from the St. George Dragons, obviously celebrating their win. Good or bad?
Bad.
Why? Because he didn't go to Honeybee. Why did he have to go all the way down there? He's gone past three strip clubs before he got to there.
Bad.
He's got a 10-day turnaround.
Yeah.
Your garbo mate didn't get a photo.
But he had the video.
Oh.
He was a long way away too. It's incredible in this video actually that he was able to pick up who this person was from so far away.
That's the problem with driving a garbo truck. Yeah. The windows are dirty.
And he was still working as well. It's incredible effort from this man. Plus,
what would be in the bins at Love and Rockets?
Don't. No. What? Not. I'm not speculating on that.
Leftover
dancer
dollars?
No.
You don't throw them out.
No, saying anything.
There's nothing going on in there.
Okay.
Good.
When's the last time you went to a strip club?
Never.
Hey?
Oh.
How would you know
Never
that?
Been to a Ripper.
Station Primo.
Hold on. Remember last
have,
year when you ate KFC where you'd never had KFC before?
Yeah.
Strip
Guess
club.
Guess what?
Really? Only if you guys come too.
Dragged
here. Sensationally as well, Graham Quirk, our Lord Mayor, has quit. We're going to get to why when he joins us. Enjoy the catch-up. Have a great weekend.
Wake up with the Big Breakfast. Weekday mornings from 5:30.
104.5 Triple M.
Pauline Hanson and her denials of being involved in a conspiracy theory about the Port Arthur shooting. She was trying to cover that up all day and came out attacking people there, attacking this. And then, right near the end, what do the Kardashians call all their crew? She decided to thank all her backers and people who have supported
Posse.
All
right. So, but probably some of you know who'd be in the posse. Here's her thanking all her posse for supporting her through her good and hard times.
Alan Jones, who stood by me when I was imprisoned in 2003 and has to this day continued to give me a fair go.
Just.
Paul Murray has always been there to offer me a platform unlike so many others. Others too have been generous with their time. They include Laurie Atlas and Aaron Stevens on 4RO, John McKenzie at 4CAFM, Perko at 4MKFM.
Right.
Mackay.
Right, that's fair enough. I mean, she's going
good
very
squad.
Regionally.
All right, yeah, good solid squad. You got all the coastal ones. You got the big fellow, Alan Jones. And then there was this. This is how it finished.
Dubbo, who does the country show on Triple M in Brisbane.
Harden?
Yep, you heard it. Dubbo.
Dubbo, who is possibly the busiest broadcaster ever because he does the sport.
Is Dubbo with us?
Hello, Dubbo.
Broncos Leagues yeah. Club this
how
morning.
How are we?
Dob, are you
I'm
there?
I'm laughing at that.
Yeah. He's gone to ground,
yeah,
hasn't
certainly.
He?
Oh, no.
Yes, Dob, good morning. How are we all?
Is he gone?
No, I'm here.
Hold on,
hello.
She's asked him to help remove
hello.
The tick.
Hello,
yeah.
Hello.
He's got the tweezers out.
That's his expertise.
Oh, that's too good. Dob, are you there somewhere?
Come on, come in, Dob. Here
come
he is.
On,
he's at the Broncos Leagues Club handing out tickets to the Magic Ground. Hello, mate.
Hello.
Don't ignore
how are we, guys?
Oh,
yeah,
you probably missed that, but we were just playing the acknowledgement from Pauline yesterday yeah. that Dobbo's been a great support to her.
Yeah, thanks, but no thanks, Pauline. I mean, don't you just love the fact that they come out and thank me? Look, I do have a radio, rural radio show, and she has at times come on there, but I'm by no means a supporter. And I just like when the chips are down, you just double down and start thanking people. But they could have told me they were going to start thanking people, but no.
See,
anyway.
I think it's the opposite. I think that she came out yeah. swinging yesterday. At her start of her press conference, she was like, everyone's baying for my blood. You all want me to die and I'm just not going to. She did the whole Donald Trump idea about how to use, you know, it's all fake news. So actually, by her naming you, she's saying that you're kind of soft and not,
hey,
you
hey,
know.
Hey, hey, no.
Hang on. Rob, don't go down that road. Now, listen, okay, do you want me to say I do not support her and James Ashby? No, thank you. But anyway.
Dobbo, can I check something else? That tick yeah. on her right side of her face is burrowed yeah. in. It was like a little volcano. What do you know about... How do you get ticks on your face? I know you get them on your ankles and your groin and stuff. How did she have got that on her face?
Well, she is from out in Ipswich.
Yes.
So are you. So?
Yeah, but hang on, I haven't got any ticks on me, but I'm just saying, obviously she's been rolling around on the ground and potentially,
oh
you know...
God. You got something to tell us?
No.
You're full of denials today.
Listen... That'll do.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, usually we'd thank you, but we'll outsource it this morning.
Yeah. Allegedly.
Dubbo, who does the country show on Triple M in Brisbane.
Big thanks for Pauline Hanson. Good on you, Dubbo. Big breakfast, Triple M.
Gordy Tellus for Toyota Material Handling. Get world-renowned Toyota reliability. Forklifts you can trust. Get the Toyota advantage at toyotamaterialhandling.com.au. Now on Triple M, we're checking in with Gordy Tellus. Tellus. Everyone loves Tellus.
Before we get to Gordy, let's relive those last moments. It was 24-all. Osako had missed a field goal, and then Corey Norman, former Bronco.
If he can play it quickly, Norman can get a shot away. Off the left boot. Norman.
He's got ahead of Norris, kicked it. Corey Norman has won the game.
And it's full time.
Oh,
24.
Man, they were gone
24.
Nuts.
Gordy, what did you take out of it, mate, watching it?
Oh, look, it was a much-needed win from the Dragons, wasn't it? It was a little bit scrappy from, like, both teams, but the Dragons have, you know, they've struggled the, you know, first couple of rounds, but the Broncos, they, I think they'd be really disappointed. It pretty much turned back to a round one performance, didn't it?
Drop ball, missed tackles. Are we the real deal, or is it going to be one of those seasons up and down?
Oh, look, well, we're supposed to be the real deal, you know. There's a 27... million-dollar facility. You've got a new coach, and they've been tipped to be... No, but, you know, I mean, like, but they've been tipped, and the Broncos, Robin, since day one, have been expected to win competitions, and that's what goes with that, you know, with the territory when you bring on a Bronco or put on a Broncos jersey. But last night, I think the Dragons played really smart. Don't forget, Cameron McInnes, he was tipped to be the New South Wales halfback last year, and Cook got the jump on him, so... He moved them around a little bit. They weren't sitting targets like the Cowboys forwards, you know. And the Sims boys, again, you know, they're doing like a bogey team, isn't it? Like the last three times that the Dragons have played the Broncos, and Broncos have been red-hot favourites, well, they've come up with the bickies.
Gordy, what did you think of Tavita's performance?
It was sort of to be expected because he's played 50 games and he hasn't dominated like that. You know, two games in a row, and it's young, and I don't care who you are. Everybody loves their own press, and he made, it's a lot easier to prepare for any sporting competition when someone's poking you and bagging you, but when they're wrapping you and patting you on the back, it's a little bit harder. And
did you know, hey Gordy, did you notice that? So Pengai Gina, everyone said, "Oh, how good are you?" And he didn't play as well as he did last week, but everyone got into Alex Glenn this week, and he had a really good game.
Yeah, I said, well, Alex Glenn last week was 5 runs for 29 metres, and that's not, you know, and that's not acceptable. And then, mate, it just happens. And I suppose, you know, Pangai Jr., it's big news down here that the Roosters are chasing him and, you know, going to offer him the $1 million that Cooper Cronk's going to leave at the end of the year. So, yeah, I mean, as a young guy, you know, it'd be hard not to read that and think, well, God, I'm going to make it. You know, I'm about to sign a multi-million-dollar contract.
I've got to say, I felt a bit sad for their captain, the Dragons' captain.
Gareth
He's hurt his wing.
And reports are it's more serious than what it looked. It looked serious, and it looked like that it hurts. It looked like that he probably tore a bit of pec and dislocated his shoulder. So let's hope, because this is his last year in the NRL, and you know, the Dragons have released him 1 year early to go back and play in his homeland of England. So he was out to have a big season, but that didn't look good, did it?
Goody, where are you?
I'm just about to board a plane, Robin.
Because you had the Matty Johns show on after the footy last night.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Matty Johns, yeah. So it's a daylight saving, so it's, what is it, 8:15 here. So.
There you go. I was just checking you weren't in some coffee shop or going on the run.
Gordy,
but it will be in an hour and a half.
Gordy, I'm not one of those people who'll be calling for the coach's head this early in the season.
Round one, you did.
I'm going to give him another week or so.
Okay.
You reckon he was a bit harsh? I don't know if you saw the press conference. We talked about it earlier. He got it stuck into Thomas Flegler, who's 19 years of age. Wayne Bennett would never get into anyone in public. What do you make of him?
Oh, do you know what? You know, it was funny because Adam Reynolds was on the Matty John show last night and we're talking about Wayne Bennett to Anthony Seibold. And the best way he just described me, he goes, mate, he's a school teacher.
Uh-huh.
That's it. So Seibold has grown up and I think he did. He was a school teacher in the early days, and that's it. He goes, mate, he's just always challenging you. And, you know, he probably knows him and thinks, well, this kid's a bit like Shane Webke, and if you embarrass him in public, there's a chance for him to really spur on. And Flegler was brilliant last week. Everybody talked about Tevita Pangai Jr. Flegler's stats were the best in the Broncos, and that was his third game or something. So, he, look, he's going to have a really big future. I find it strange bagging a young kid like that in public, but the coaches know more these days and they're into the psych and they have all these, they have a trainer for a trainer and staff for staff. So he must know him a little bit better and think that he's going to obviously pull the finger out and have a real red hot crack next week.
Yep. Right, hopefully they do.
Safe travels, Gordon. We'll catch you soon.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
He is one of our favourite Lord Mayors of Brisbane of all time, not just because of some of the things he's done for our fair city, but because he likes us. We're talking about the one and only Graham Quirk, front page of today's paper. Graham, you're leaving us.
Oh, don't leave us, Graham.
Yeah, Robin, the time has come. Morning, Matto and
Graham,
Nick.
Graham, don't leave.
G'day, g'day.
Why?
Oh, well, look, I think, as they say, it's never a good time to leave, but I know this is the right time. And, you know, obviously, household decision. We've come to the conclusion that the time has come. So 34 years, it's a long time in public life, Robin.
Yep.
You know, I've got a young team behind me, and I think it's time for generational change, number one. And number two, I've had to consider, you know, just where the energy levels might be in a few years. So this is the right time.
Go out while you're fit and healthy. Wayne Bennett used to say, better one season too few than one season too many, Quirky.
Yeah, absolutely right, Marto. That's absolutely the truth of it. So, but, you know, look, as I say, I'd rather go now than to be pushed out as well, and I leave on my own terms, and it's a good way to be.
Why last night, late last night, wake up this morning, it was after the footy, was it the Broncos? Did you have a multi going and you just went, I've had a gutful of this?
State of depression, mate. Mm. 2 seconds, but anyway.
Why late?
Yeah, well, look, it's just the way I do things, I suppose. I didn't want, you know, the trouble is, you know, when you get it out a bit earlier, people sort of, the old social media thing these days is just so fast. So I put in a couple of calls after 9:30 last night and got a heap of text messages out between then and midnight to people that have been close to me over the years, and away we went.
Graham, I knew you had three daughters, but I didn't realise that one of them was disabled. That, I mean, you must have had such an amazing balancing act throughout your career.
Yeah, my eldest one, Sarah, cerebral palsy, and it's about diary management, Robin, so I don't sort of leave home in the morning without carrying her out of bed, and same at night. If I've got dinners or events to do at night, I go home, get her into bed, and she's had a tough life, and but we do the best we can for her.
Now, Graham, I've got an idea here. I don't know how you feel about this, but I've got someone who I'm thinking may be a great fit to take over for you. He's an ex-Wallaby and predicts the weather with somewhat precision. What do you think about Marto for mayor?
Well, look, his first act will be to get himself another recycling bin.
Only got four.
Yeah.
I've got a long memory, Marto, yeah. Unfortunately.
No, I'm paying my garbo off, mate. He's saying nothing.
He's going to unban himself from Uber. He's going to make sure Ubers will pick him up.
I tell you what, it may be an interesting city, but it'll be a fun one too.
I was looking for more support than that, Quirky. But,
but that's one of the things that you've said, that, you know, of your legacy, and there are many things like the Legacy Way tunnels. But it says here that you've created a more inclusive and humorous city.
Well, I don't know about the humorous, but a more accessible city. Mm. But look, you know, you can never take yourself seriously. We're in a serious business, but you've got to have a bit of fun as you go as well. And, you know, that life's too short to do otherwise. And we've had a lot of fun on Triple M together. I really appreciated the courtesy you guys extended to me as well.
All right. Well, just on that, now, you're one of our longest-serving Lord Mayors here in Brisbane. Now, Clem Jones, he was the longest-serving. They named a tunnel after him. Chandler, he was the second longest-serving Lord Mayor of Brisbane. They named a suburb and they named a Commonwealth Games swimming pool. What would be named after you, Quirky?
Oh, I'll probably get a sewage system. I don't know, Mark.
The quirky poo station.
Oh, that's all right.
What about the zip line? Come on. The quirky, you know, Mount Cuthah zip line.
No, look, I'm not into those things. I'm just happy just to go quietly, having done my bit, and hand the reins over to the next person. And hopefully people will see, you know, an improved city, a more matured city over the course of the years that I've been there. But it's on to the next life for me now.
Been incredible at the helm of our city, so thank you for your service.
Thank you very much, Nick. Thank you, Robin and Marto. All the very best.
Well done, Captain Quirk.
And Marto for mayor, sir.
Good on you.
No, I think we've sorted that. Triple M's Big Breakfast. Hey, just following up one of our favourite stories from yesterday morning, Jet Ski Man, we called him. He was wanted in WA. He hatched a plan to come over to Queensland and he bought a jet ski and a car in Cairns, went to Cape York and took off. Well, let Channel 9, they got onto it and were telling us the story last night.
Loading up with bags, supplies and a fishing rod, around 7 a.m. on Monday, the 57-year-old jumped on his jet ski near Cape York and began weaving his way 50 kilometres north for 90 minutes to the remote Moa Island. Alerted by locals and fishermen, when Australian Border Force officers found Jackson, he was just 5 kilometres off reaching his goal, the coast of Papua New Guinea.
Incredible scenes. He was doing so well. But what I love in the story as well, the night before, he'd spent his last night drinking. He'd had 10 cans of Jack and Coke and did target practice with his crossbow.
On the beach.
Did they ever specify what the crossbow was for? Like, it wasn't for a spot of shark fishing before he
probably
got to Papua New Guinea.
For crocs, I would reckon.
Oh, crocs.
Because he couldn't get his hand on a gun, I would reckon. So, I'm speculating here.
Yeah, we don't know.
But unbelievable stuff. Did you reckon he took the cans with him? Is that where he's come unstuck? He's trying to find a recycling point on the first island. He goes, hey, boys, I'm out a dollar, yeah?
So they reckon he made it all the way to New Guinea. But the problem is Port Moresby's like 500 kilometres away over to the east of where he pulled in. They're still probably eating people 50 years ago, some of the villages where they don't care about some bloke who's on a jet ski. So he hit the mainland of Papua New Guinea and then came back and said, got to find somewhere better with some fuel.
Oh.
But this is one of the locals from the last place he was at when he got all his supplies.
Sound like an Englishman just asking where he could go and drive along the beach to enjoy his beers.
He had no idea. He wanted to take off earlier, but Cyclone Trevor got in the way of him. He had to wait it out for a while and drink his
Cyclone
Jack Daniels.
Cyclone Trevor, yeah, that's some pretty good police work there from Cyclone Trevor. It's kept the fugitive in Australia for a bit, you know, as the cops can catch up. What I love as well, those people on that first bit of Papua New Guinea that he would have gotten to, they would have seen like the modern day Bogan Viking. Oh, you know, a bloke on a jet ski with a crossbow.
Triple M's Big Breakfast.
Now, yesterday we were talking relationship one percenters, right? I'm talking about those proper things that keep a relationship strong. I'm not talking about, you know, when people say we need a strong emotional connection or a love of food and travel. Yeah, blah, blah, blah.
Generalisations. Yeah.
I'm talking about the stuff that's not spoken about, the true relationship one percenters. Because a couple of days back, my wife and I were sort of, we're getting a bit annoyed at each other near lunchtime. And then I realised we're both hangry. We get hungry, angry, right?
That's
a 1%er. If your partner understands the hangriness, right, you're going to get along great. My ex didn't understand it. She didn't get how someone could be hungry angry, right? Mm. She was a smoker. I said to her, well, just replace smokes with food.
Food.
And she still couldn't get it.
She put on 32 kilograms and hates you.
That's why I left. And,
don't say but that.
I want to know your relationship 1%ers. 133353, another one for my wife and I.
Yeah.
She's not a tight ass. I'm not a tight
thank
ass.
Oh, God, I can't That's stand great. Tight asses.
Robert, I remember you said you broke up with a bloke on the first date.
I did.
Is that the game changer?
It is for me. I mean, Sean's not a tight ass.
You've got to be generous.
Okay, 133353. Let you and I, Marto, have to think of one. We've got a song.
I've got one. There's a reason I've been with my wife for 30 years.
She puts up with you?
No, she lets me watch any. She doesn't know the difference between rugby league and rugby union, and I'm able to sit on the lounge, or AFL, has no idea what the difference is. So she'll go, what are you doing? I said, research for Fox Sports, and I can watch any football game at any stage of my life. She just rubs me on the head and goes, God, you're a hard worker.
All weekend.
You've talked about Lucia Wise. What's yours? What would she, if she was in this position, what would she say? And Robin, what would Sean say is yours? Those little 1% that makes it you such a special person and why you're together.
I really genuinely haven't worked that out yet because I am such a pain in the ass.
So am I. Whenever I do anything around the house, I always look for a pat on the back.
Like, I can't cook. I'm really crap at cleaning.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm, you know.
Oh, yeah. No. See, I can't cook, but I love a clean. I love a vacuum.
You?
I can mop. Yeah,
that'll do.
Folding clothes. My wife hates folding clothes. I'm a fan of folding clothes.
That's what I'm a washing hanger person. I love hanging washing out.
And I'm that person
why she loves me.
That walks around the house telling everyone to turn their air conditioners off.
Oh, you're a delegator. That's your best quality.
It is my best. I mean, the thing I would say about Sean is that he always fills in paperwork for me, which, as a dyslexic, the concept of having, you know, if you're trying to
Hold on. Even though I know my name,
and I know my address. But, you know, just reading through reams
male,
and reams.
The male, female bit?
What?
You just, can't fill in paperwork.
No, me. I can't stand it. If you've got lots of questions you've got to do, I can't do it. And I would say with him is that he does all the dodgy 14, 15, 16-year-old boy stuff, which I think everyone in our family is grateful for that I'm no longer doing
Yeah,
it.
I agree.
Well, we wanted to hear your relationship 1%ers. Simo from Coomera. How are you, mate?
How are we, guys?
Yeah, what a little thing, mate.
Robin sounds a little bit like my missus can't cook. But we love the same music, mate. Stoner Rock, Pearl Jam, Soundgarden, Mudvayne, Stone Sour. My ex used to love Keith Urban. I'd get home from work and want to neck myself. She'd have Keith Urban, Frank. Okay. I wanted to jump up on stage, take his guitar and smash it.
Okay. Simo.
Yeah. Okay.
So not a country music fan, Simo.
Next one. Not at all, mate. Not at all.
Nicole Kidman's long suffering, I'm sure.
Folks aren't too smart where I come from.
Okay, Simo.
He's got pipes on him as well.
I reckon that's why Keith Urban writes songs about Nicole. Cold to keep her interested.
Keep her intrigued.
I like Keith Urban though. Sorry, Simo.
I'm with Simo. Is he going to get a meat plate for that?
Paddamore's Meats, serving the Redlands since 1979. Every day is gourmet at Paddamore's Meats. Congratulations, you've won a meat tray, Simo. Please don't swear.
Nice!
Very good. Take us into the traffic with a song from Keith Urban, Simo.
I'll jump out in traffic right now.
Okay, very good.
Don't do that. Triple M's Big Breakfast. Massive weekend again this weekend for our family because my Year 12 son, my middle son, Lewin, who's wonderful and feisty and delicious, is going to his formal. Now, this was not a thing when I was a kid. When I went through Year 12, our formal was at the end of the year after the exams before we broke up. But it would seem maybe
it's
a Queensland thing.
You've got to do it early in the
year
because they concentrate so much. You go, well, how come it's only March or April?
That's exactly right.
We want them to get it out of the way.
Although there are still some state schools. I think Kenmore State School still does it. Anyway, so my son has his school formal and there's been so much preparation around this. I've talked to you in a couple of weeks ago about whether we should have the pre's and post's. Mm. We've decided to have the pre's.
Load them up.
But load them up, get them sorted, get them out.
You're not allowed to say that.
Why?
I can say, load them up.
No,
Robin.
I was loading them up with excitement. Oh. They're not going to drink anything. I do know schools that do breathalyze. They're
what?
Not going to drink anything beforehand. They're not. I guarantee you. Not on my watch.
All right. I'll put a carton on it.
Oh, no, you won't. Really?
Green bottle.
Flask. No, it's in my house. No. Yeah, okay, you're moving away from the point. The point is that the school was very concerned, and I think they are every year. I don't think it's just the 2002 babies.
No.
But the school decided to get the whole of the cohort in together yesterday to sit round and talk about the rules.
Talk about the rules to what?
Well, the formal, because this is a boys' school. So they do take the responsibility of young men behaving correctly very seriously. So it was divided into three categories. The first one was about etiquette in terms of eating. So they explained to the boys that you work from the outside in when it comes to cutlery. Yep.
Well, sit-down meal.
Yep, those sorts of things.
Where did I learn that from? Pretty Woman? Was that in Pretty Woman?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. Also, the bread and butter plate. Left, right, boys? Come on.
Left.
Thank you. Yeah, glass. Here.
Whoever wants spare, one in each hand.
Excellent. Okay, so that was
how big is a fight going to be?
That was the first thing, and they all passed from ignoring you. The second thing was about food, because they are having a sit-down meal, and it's a food drop. Oh. And it was explained to the young men that their dates get the first preference. So if you've got beef and she wants the beef, you've got to give over your beef. You've got to have your chicken.
But most girls under the age of 20 are now vegan.
Doesn't matter. Okay, well, if
what,
you want
all your veggies and you take beef and chicken.
Avocado versus, I don't know. But
living the dream.
They were told that the girls had to have first preference. Mm. Then they moved on to personal behaviour, and this was my personal favourite.
Keep your rat's tails above the collar.
These boys don't have rat's tails. They're not allowed.
The
first thing was the boys were not to remove their jackets until told by the MC.
Oh, this is like Tats Club.
Yeah, so they had to keep them on until at a point in the celebrations, they will be allowed to remove their jackets, which I think is after the main meal. So they've all taken that one on board.
Are there speeches and stuff?
I think there is a bit like the principal will get up and do something.
Jeez,
and
it sounds dull.
But
for
this
a girl.
Was my all-time favourite, and it was when assisting your date out of her car or, in fact, into the building, men, keep your hands above the waist.
Oh, my God. This is not the Queen. Where are they going to put them?
Oh, massage
her calf.
Boys, no butt grabs.
Really?
That's fair.
What about if you've had too much to drink at the Robin Bailey's pre-formal?
Okay, that is not
going to
happen. Triple M's Big Breakfast. Now, of course, this morning I'm back in the studio here in Brisbane, but yesterday and Wednesday night I was in Sydney doing Talking Married for Channel 9. Mm. And they put me up in a hotel, and it's the first time that I've ever been to this particular place. It wasn't really a hotel. It was like a corporate apartment.
Right.
I didn't even know existed. It's in Crow's Nest, and it's called Good Life. And I went there and checked in, and this is the first time ever that I have had a fully automated on your phone with an app check-in experience.
So no reception desk.
Well, there was one guy there, and he said, you need to download this app, and he talked me through the whole process. And he said,
oh, that's so annoying. I'm already annoyed.
Right. I'm now going to send you your room key.
What,
to your phone.
Whoa.
And so all you have to do is when you're coming in and out of the hotel, because I wasn't going to get back till about sort of 10:30, 11 o'clock at night, and I was going to be leaving at sort of 3 or 4 in the morning to come to work, all you have to do is use the app and you'll get in and out and access all areas.
Sounds easy.
Great in theory. Yeah. Got back from Channel 9 about 11 o'clock on Wednesday night, and I'd had my phone going all day. I hadn't put it on charge, and I had about 2% left in my battery. And I'm thinking, how am I going to do this? Anyway, I managed to get into the building, and in the process of me trying to find the lift and where I needed to go, my phone died.
Oh, so you're in, but you're not in your room.
I'm in the lift with no ability to go up, down, in, out. I'm just in this lift.
You're in a metal box.
Yeah. At 11 o'clock at night thinking, what am I going to do? As it turned out, someone else randomly came through the building, got into the lift.
And got you to your room.
And was able to
How'd you get in your room, though?
Well, then, because we had access to a phone, I was able to get into his app and ring the people. Oh. Right. So here's my thing.
It was a him. You trying to cover anything?
I'm not trying to cover. Okay. Seriously, I was so scared because I'm thinking, I'm going to stay in this lift all night. I'm going to miss my breakfast show. I can't call you. There's nothing I can do. I'm just here.
Well, you can't. 133353.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't have a phone.
She was in the lift.
With no phone.
Is there a phone in the lift anymore?
Well, no. Not
a phone in the lift?
So, you know how you got the buzzy thing to tell people?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But need the app for that.
That's
though.
The worst play. That is worst case scenario for your phone going flat.
But
sure.
Hang on a sec. Think about it. We are living in the technological age.
They're
going
to do this all the time, aren't they?
Yesterday from Oprah that there are a billion people with apples in their pockets. Most of us are now operating on apps. They don't want people to go to banks anymore. Yeah. We're supposed to do everything online. So my question is this. When has your phone failed? What's the worst time in your life that your phone has failed? And ooh, where did it put you and how did you get ooh out of it? Everything's done on apps, money transfer. Like, imagine God being in some foreign country. Anyway, Steve of Logan Village, what happened to you?
Oh, pretty bad story, but, you know, for the passengers that were in my boat. But I was taking my boat out for a run, as you do, and I had a brand-new motor put on it, which I paid a fortune for.
Yeah.
We're hooking down the river and we're just on our way out to the jumping pin,
right.
I've gone around a corner. The motor's locked 90 degrees at about probably 60 mile an hour.
What?
The boat didn't roll, but scooped up a boat full of water, which is a 21-foot boat. It's quite a large boat. Whoa. To scoop up water on a 45-degree angle. Filled my boat up full of water with two passengers in there. One's got their head split open, bleeding, looking at me, bleeding. The other fella's split his kneecap open on the dash of the boat, and he's also...
Had you turned the boat off at this stage? Because I was just...
The
just...
boat was off. Billy pumps were on by that stage. Yeah. I looked around to see my friend. I've, one's on the ground. Kneecap just opened up. Like,
wicked.
The other fella looked at me, the one that bumped his head really bad, sprayed me in blood. And he's asking me, was I driving? Was I driving? He had like a short-term
concussion.
His head.
Yeah, take him off for a head injury assessment. Yeah, so what happened?
Right. I've grabbed my phone, I've picked it up, I'm trying to call an ambulance or BMR or anyone, you know, because there's a lot of blood floating around in the boat.
Oh, yeah.
Gosh. I've picked up my phone, I'm banging buttons, banging the screen with my wet fingers because obviously the water and the iPhone screen don't quite go too well together on the old iPhone 4.
Oh.
And I'm pressing buttons and nothing was happening at all. I'm waving down the other boat. They're looking at me. I'm covered in blood in a white T-shirt. They're just going, I'm not helping myself.
Oh, no.
Something's going on in there. I don't know what.
The positive, though. The positive, though, with your concussed mate, when he's like, was I driving the boat? You just go, yes.
Yes.
And you've wrecked it.